Flesh was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
Yep.
And great grace was upon them all.
Yep.
Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Thanks be to God for the reading. Bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Mighty God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadows of time. As we move through every sorrow and trial of life, uphold us in knowledge of the final morning, when in the glorious presence of your risen Son, we will share in his resurrection. Redeemed and restored to the fullness of life, and forever free to be your people. Thank you, Father, for opening our spiritual eyes of faith to see you and the lovely Lord Jesus. We pray that we will not rely on senses or emotions to inform us of your love and grace, but will trust the truth of your word. Strengthen our faith in you today, Lord, and send us out as a messenger to proclaim you as our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
God sees everything as a movement that's ongoing. And I need to say, because our message, the message he gave me today is redeemed, but being restored. And in other words, Resurrection Sunday brought us to the place of redemption, and it occurred. What he did on the cross that day brought us the redemption process in place. But beyond that, that's the beginning, not the end. It's the beginning of a new beginning. Amen. How many know that there's always a new beginning every time something ends? Thank you. Thank you. Because that's where we are. So it's not over. It's just beginning. And he wanted me to share with all of you that there's a restoration process, especially those of us that heard the message, received the message, and got it, and know that Resurrection Sunday of a living God, not a dead God, but alive and well. That this God is active and in motion in our lives now. Somebody say now.
Now.
I got you to keep that in the forefront, that there's always our now that is the most important time in our life. It's the only real time that exists. And I continue to talk about that because it's so important.
So
it's so easy to get caught up in yesterday.
It's there. I don't know why it shows like that. Maybe.
It's so easy to get caught up in thinking about my future. And I'm reminded, you know, I talked to one of the brothers this morning, and he asked about my past. Had I ever been, experienced some things, and I thought thinking about my yesterday.
1920.
I think it is. It's just
that brought me to start thinking. And so all of a sudden, I went to the archives, and I pulled out some VHS tapes. And I pulled out some cassette tapes. It'll tell you how old I am, right? And when I pulled those tapes out, I saw myself. Oh, where I used to be. Somebody say used to be. See, but where my used to be can't compare to my now. Y'all got to get that. My used to be could not compare to my now, but I went there. I went there, and that's the problem that we have as humans with a mind. The mind's a great thing. God gave it to us for a purpose. The problem with it is it can take you places if you don't realize and understand who you are and whose you are and what time you are operating in now.
So,
you can easily get persuaded or take a look at your past. Or if you're like me with a mind that is shutting down, you'll start even projecting some things into your future. And so those things will occur, but I love this redeemed and being restored process, that the restoration is a process. Anybody, I like cars, right? But if you know anything about cars, and particularly the older cars, you know, you can restore it. And put it back together. In fact, most people that restore a car put it back better than it was. And when you open up the hood or look inside, it's pristine, clean. Everything is like laid out because they took the time to restore it and make it better. Somebody gonna get this in a minute. They make it better than it was. So this is why I love the restoration process, because in restoration, I don't have to, what didn't work and what wasn't good, I'm not going to put it back in the restored one. Are y'all getting this, right? So I love the process, because when God showed me being redeemed, what he did on the cross, and we have the ability, all of us on the other side of the cross, which are us that I'm talking to now, us that we're here, and the sound of my voice, you're on the other side. And because you made it to the other side, we have the opportunity that the people that was on the other side of the cross did not. You say, well, that's not fair. But so there's, God had them in mind, and but they were under the law. And on this side of the cross, we're under grace. And he said, his grace is sufficient for me. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is the ability of God to do things for people who didn't deserve it. But I got to tell you something. God loved them and he loves us just the same. And so, but he had to take it place. And the only thing that could take place was the redemption process that happened on the cross until his blood was shed on our behalf. Now we have a New Testament right. Somebody say right.
Right.
To operate as children of God in restoration, although my restoration isn't complete. Help me, help me, help me, help me. So when something's in restoration, right, it can work or be, and I'm one, I like everything complete. I like everything done yesterday. Right? But you ever see like somebody working on a car, right? You want to use the car again. And the car, you can drive it, but everything isn't done. Or you see the car that when he worked on the motor and put the wheels on, right? But it didn't get the paint job yet. So it still looks a little, you got it. It looks a little rough, right? But when you turn it on, it's running. You know, good. And so, but there's still some things that need to be done. Well, I want to liken us to that. God's got us in process. And so that's the part that we as humans, again, I want you to get this because you need to receive it. We're in process of this restoration, and restoration to bring a number of things. It can bring healing, right? Restoration can bring wealth. Restoration can bring a restored mind. Restoration can bring restored relationships, right? Restoration can bring you into the place where you start to walk in your dominion, your purpose, your call, right? Because why? You're restored, and being in restoration is a part of the process, right? I want y'all to get this, because this is where the Lord is dealing with me, because we live in time, and living in time, we live under the sun, and time only exists under the sun. Not above it. So God lives above the sun. We live under the sun, right?
Yes,
and time is existence. But time is not necessarily on our side, and time plays on us. God, who doesn't exist in time, sees us as restored. Yet we all know we're not complete. So the redemptive process is complete. Restoration is complete, but we are in process of it. I hope you got what I just said. I know that was a mouthful, and it really gets to the point. It can be confusing, but this is where the finite mind versus the infinite mind, I need you to be able to see from God's perspective. Whatever he said is already done.
And because you
know, y'all got to get that. Whatever he said is already done. But I have to walk in it, receive it, to get it. Does that make sense? In other words, there's something with my name on it, right, that belongs to me. But until I get to it and claim it and declare it and use it, it can still be out there. All right, Lord, help me get this across. So I don't want to leave you. So I want to give you some scripture, and we're going to go here, and I want to share with you. So even, I want to take us back to take us forward. So we know that the cross was not the end. We know that according to scripture, he died on the cross, and he said, Father, I give my spirit back to you. I thought that was significant. Not many people talk about this, right? But he said, I give my spirit back to you. Y'all want to stay with me? And I give my spirit back to you. The spirit that God gave him, he said, Dad, I'm giving it back to you because I'm getting ready to go to a place that I don't want to take you in, but I'm going to need you in order to get out based on what you said. Watch this. This is Bible. I'm not talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something that it says in the Bible. The Bible is truth. Okay, it's the only truth that I get to actually believe today, with so many different things being processed the way they are. But he said, I give my spirit back to you. I thought it's very, very significant. And right after that, we know that blood, heartbeat, and all those things that happen in the natural body, the man body, cease. Did it not? According to that. So he released his spirit back to the Father. But according to scriptures, now I want you to take y'all someplace. Go to Genesis. I know this is, I know I didn't get to the, we'll go to Genesis chapter 1. So in Genesis chapter 1, on the sixth day, it says in verse 26, that God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, and he created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This is man's original purpose. Mankind. It's right there. I'm not going to tell you something. When God says something, he means it, and he didn't take it back. So this is the original scripture. But that's, and then the Bible tells us that he formed and fashioned them, right? But let's go to chapter 2. So God's in the seventh day, and he said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth, in verse 4, when they created in the days of the Lord, and God made the earth and the heaven. and every plant in the field, and every herb of the field before it grew. And the Lord God had not caused rain upon the earth, but it went up in the midst of the ground. And the Lord, here verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And here's where I want y'all to get this. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Why is that so important? Because he breathed into man. He formed and fashioned man. He had created this model and this mold, right? He had it. It was all there. But it did not become a living soul until he breathed into it. What does the breath do? The breath of this word you are, a Hebrew word, was the breath of life. It's also spirit. So y'all gonna follow me in a minute. So he breathed the life into him, but he gave man a spirit. Yeah, we're gonna get down the road where we see this connection and this relationship that the spirit, so every man has a spirit, every man has the ability, and so in that we got breath, heartbeat, spirit, right? And the ability with our own minds and our unique fingerprint, unique DNA makeup, all of the things that are in us as humans, right? But he said he created us in his image and his likeness. And I went over that last week where I shared that image and likeness doesn't necessarily mean it. And this is important because he gave us a spirit. But there's something he held off and he let man have through this free will, and that he gave us a chance and an opportunity to do this thing on our own. Y'all gonna follow me in a minute, all right? Now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And in chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, somebody say in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is very, very important, because that means there was an old man, and it means there's a new man. Okay? We understand that process, and we call it being born again. Right? But we know we can't return and come out of our mother's womb again. Okay? That process is not what is taking place. Everybody understand that? Right? You can't redo that. Impossible. Okay? But what is possible is my spirit man being renewed. So the spirit that I used to have, by now saying I'm in Christ, that means I've received him. So if I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. If Christ is in me, I can have what he said I could have, which is a new spirit. He said, so the old man has passed away, but the new man is become or becoming, if I go through the process, right? So I want you to see something. So why is this important? When he was leaving, he stayed on the earth for 40 more days. And he says, I gotta go. Read your Bible, it's in there, in all the gospels, okay? Each one of them to describe it differently. But in the gospels, it talks about him. He says, I gotta go. And he's like, well, where are you going? He says, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father, but I got to leave. But he says, I promise I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you without giving you something that I know you're going to need. This is only available to them that receive. If I'm in Christ, then Christ is in me. Then if the old man has passed away, then I can become new. Y'all got to follow this and stay with it. So if I'm becoming new, then I have to have something to become new with. So the thing I'm becoming new with is a new spirit. Because you see it. Thank you. She got it. She raised her hand. I think, thank you, Lord. It hit. But I want you to see this. So my spirit man is the thing that is capable of being renewed. Because when I looked at my feet, they looked the same. When I looked at my hands, they didn't even change. So I started thinking all those other things about me were still the same. And when I just told you, when I went through, when the brother asked me about my past and did I ever go through some of these things, and I said, yes, I did. And I said, you know, so the 8-track started rolling. And then the cassette came on because it went on for a couple years. And then all of the things I did and done and had become, and all the things that were trying to take me away and took my focus away from who I am and what I was supposed to become, I started doing other things because it was about self again. Self will start to please self. I got to say, that's what addiction will do. It'll take you back to the moment where you were that first time or what you thought, and you keep spending the rest of your life trying to get there. And it'll never happen because it's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something I know. But with a renewed spirit, with Christ inside, and with a renewed spirit, man, and I'm in process. So he said, I'm not going to leave you helpless or comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter. And in other words, he said this to them, to the disciples, another comforter. Which means he was a comforter. And they thought they were going to be without Jesus because he said, I got to leave. And I want to tell you all today, because now we're in Christ and Christ in us, we're not without Christ. But here's the difference of what happened in the beginning when he formed and fashioned Adam. He breathed life into them, but he gave them an individual spirit. But when we get to the New Testament, and they tell me, my blood was shed on your behalf, right? And I told you, I started at the cross. He was on the cross. And he said, Father, I return my spirit back to you. Somebody else should have got that. So his spirit went back to him. And I got to tell you, there was a whole bunch of great theologians and people. They were having this big debate and issue. That if God is love and full of love, how could his spirit go down to hell? Right? Well, last I read, he said, I commit my spirit back to you. So if God had his spirit, God had his spirit protected and covered, but it was God waiting, he went in the haze, he's there. But it was God that restored him with the Spirit of God, not the spirit of a man, that caused him to rise up. And then all of a sudden, they're looking at him and saying, how in the world is he still, he's walking towards the enemy. You know, this is my Hollywood version. He's in hell, and he's walking there, but it was God restoring him to who he was and who he's to become. Remember I said, old man has passed away and all things have become new. Okay, so it's a become that has to take place. And I'm trying to read these words. They're not there by accident. That he now is become. God infuses him with the Spirit of God. No. He was created in his image, in his likeness, right? So that's the man part. But the God part is God's spirit. And he said, He was all God, yet all man, and he released his spirit back to the Father before he died. And in the process, again, innocent blood being shed, when it, you came, that gave him the power and the authority to redeem, to get back what belongs to him. So going to hell, and in that place, he was able to get the keys to the kingdom. But thank God, he did get grab the keys to the kingdom. And I told y'all, I can give y'all my Hollywood version. He's walking, and all the demons and imps, they were partying. They were having a celebration. You know, we didn't got this greatest one, the last one that they said, you know, who declared himself as a king and declared himself as the Messiah. Okay, well, if he was the Messiah, he couldn't die. And if he was the Messiah, he don't know no sin, because he couldn't have sinned. If he was the Messiah, he, all these things about who he is and who he was and what he was supposed to be couldn't have happened, or what, because he wasn't that. He just made an exchange. He was innocent. He was God. Oh, you know, he was powerful. He was all knowing. He was all of those things. But he said, I love them. You. All of us. In spite of what we had done. In spite of where we had been. And he said, the old man would pass away, but all things would become new in me. So the key is Christ Jesus. That's why he had to go to the cross. That's why he redeemed. But the restoration process is in play. So the restoring us is coming in, because now he's walking. He's like, I thought we got him. He should be dancing and partying like us, right? We got, but he seems to, this is me. So the devil himself is sitting in a big chair, you know, like the king, the throne chair. Yeah, that's right. He's sitting in one of them with the keys to the kingdom on his hip, because he got the keys. Remember, he got the keys from Adam and everybody else in between. So he had the keys to the kingdom. Y'all not hearing me? He had the keys to the kingdom. The enemy, the one that said he wanted to be like God, has the keys that belong to you, because according to scripture, he created you, mankind, in his image and his likeness. So now he had to do something different than what he did in the beginning by giving us another comforter. So in other words, we try to do this thing on our own. This is really where I'm getting at. You can't do this without God. So he knew that, and he knows that. So he now gave us a part of himself. By allowing, he said, I have to go. I'm going to back up for y'all. And as I go, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to share with you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you that spirit that's in me. I'm going to share it with all of you. And y'all saying, how? Look at this. So, by the way, all of us that receive Christ and Christ in us, we now have a measure of faith. Of each of us in us, right? Which is also a measure of the Holy Spirit that he gives us inside of us as we receive it. Now, there's also an additional part when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole other piece, right? But beyond that, we all have the ability to have the Spirit of God in us. We do now. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you have to do nothing else. You all have it, right? The question is knowing how to interpret and understand his voice. Anybody know what the voice of God sounds like? Let me help y'all here. This whole restoration and redemption process. So remember, it's in play. He's trying to restore us. He's trying to get us back to authority and in place of dominion, fruitful, multiply, right? We're the only ones that can create, build, and do the things that can. No lion is building no skyscrapers. No elephants are flying planes. No animals have gone to the moon. But mankind has. Because why? Of the ability for us to work with what he's already created. As we gain knowledge and information on it. Right? So make sure you're not gone. But the greater we start to learn and hear, so the danger is man doing this without God. That's the biggest danger we face today, is all of the things we're doing, but doing it without God. When you're doing it without God, there's no boundaries. When there's no boundaries, the same river that produces life also can become destructive and kill and take out life. Same river. Right? It didn't change. So let me share again. So this now releasing his spirit, and I told you about the voice of God. So the voice of God sounds like you. So in your ear, you have one thing telling you, you know, hey, this is Burger King. Have it your way. You don't want the lettuce? Come hold the lettuce. You don't want the pickles? Come hold the pickles. Whatever it is, you're just dressing up the way you want. So that's where man has been going. Dressing it up the way it is. But what if God, not what if, either, I got a plan for your life. So I discovered in my life that God had a plan for my life because I was doing the things that I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it, and I was appeasing me and my flesh. Right? And I was on a rocket ship to hell. I mean, it was going fast. It was fast. What I thought I built up, you know, it took me 7 years to put together. I lost in less than 3.5. Going fast. But so there's a whole lot lost in when you don't understand who you are. Because the enemy is constantly trying to take from us. But when I discovered who I am, I started to declare and speak the word over my life and understand I'm walking in the restoration process. As I'm restored, there's some things that didn't work before that work now. So because I can hear the voice of God, and by the way, the voice of God sounds like your voice, but here's the difference in the one. So there's three voices you'll always hear. God's, which is the Holy Spirit. Yours, which is you, the neutral one, right? And then the enemy, right? All three voices sound the same. The difference is the voices determine what they ask you to do. This had to help myself. Because my flesh was able to say, this is what I want to do. And then the enemy agreed with it. Go for it. Go ahead, do it. You know, it ain't gonna bother nobody. You deserve it. Right? But and then I had to ask myself, how does this help anybody? And I discovered the difference in the kingdom's word, God's word, is never about self. It's about the kingdom. And so the kingdom will always have to advance more than yourself. It's other people as well. Okay, and you'll say, so then this is, life always got to be you. Right. That's that would come up, right? That'll come up. Well, if you call to be a leader, God's called you to be, it's always going to be you, because you've got to be the one to take the step. If you're the one to hear the voice and know the prompt, you got to also have the victory. And remember something, according to Scripture, those that use it will be first partakers.
I don't want to see that bridge.
So it will bless you too.
I don't think it's over.
Although, again, our flesh, we like to go, but again, I've got to bring them back. 2 Corinthians says, the old man has passed away. So you've got to stop trying to resurrect. Oh, y'all got it. You've got to stop trying to bring back. Remember, I told you the tape went on. The tape went on. Yeah, remember in 1984? And you was wherever you was at. We'll go there. Right? It took me there, right? And he says, well, I was enjoying myself.
Yeah.
But it was killing me. And killing those around and killing other people. My mother once wrote me, you know, I did something, I'm a high achiever and expect to do great things, right? Only that I was going to be reverse. And I didn't want my mother to see me. So this is, when you see that kid, I need you to hear this, man, because I was embarrassed about who I was. I didn't want my mother to see me. And so she came and knocked on my door, rang my doorbell. And I was in the house. And I peeked through the peephole, you know, the peephole. If y'all know anything about a peephole, it always casts a shadow. Always. So you say you know somebody's in there, because if you look, if you're looking at the peephole, you'll see a shadow come over the moment someone looks through it. So she knew I was in the house, but I didn't open the door. And she wrote me a letter. A letter changed my life. Because it was like God was using her. And she said, "You think you're not hurting anybody but yourself. But you're hurting everybody that loves you." According to the scripture, if God's called you out of darkness into his world, I have no idea who God's called you to and what he wants you to do and who to speak to. But if you're not in position to go where God wants you to go and be where God wants you to be, you will miss that opportunity. And if you're not in position, so Sister Debbie, he's got you in position. So the place where you need to be tomorrow, just be in Christ, be in him. And whatever he says, say it. Let him be in charge. Don't shut you down. Let the old you be quiet. And let the new you arise. This is where we are. And so that's what happened. And that day after reading that letter, it changed my life. I said, I got to get up from here. This is not who I am. And so, and getting into the church and getting into a pastor that was teaching the scriptures and teaching the Bible and teaching me about faith and teaching me the word of God, it started changing my life. And so I now understand, and this Sunday or last Sunday, I'm thinking about, you know, we keep coming to Easter and Resurrected Sunday like it was over. The resurrection it occurred. But the restoration is in process. Even though the world is in the shape that it is and going the way that it's going to go, I don't have to go that way. You don't have to go that way. This is where the saints have to take over and take control in the process of who we are. I don't have to live underprivileged anymore. I don't have to live broke, busted, and disgusted. I don't have to live not thinking God's word is sufficient for me and his grace is sufficient. I don't have to live with those things anymore. I can live in peace. I can live with the joy of the Lord. I can live with those things that he declared were mine, because I'm declaring them as mine. And because I know on the cross, he took on the sins of the world. He took on my sins. So when I didn't know any better and wasn't doing any better, he took that on. I don't have it. I can shut the tape off now. Boom, that's not me. I had somebody come. I went to a school reunion, right? And they said, "Remember when?" I said, "No, that guy's dead." They said, "Remember when we was?" "No, I don't. That guy is dead. I'm not declaring him." I had somebody come back to me that was close to me. And they said, "You know, so from 30 years ago, you did X, Y, and Z, and you owe me this." I said, "No, I don't owe you anything." I said, "That guy is dead. I'm free from that. I had that world." Why? Jesus released me. Where? When? On the cross, back in Calvary 2,000 years ago. I just caught up with it. I'm walking into it now. I'm free. So this is where we got to declare and walk in this thing, because Otherwise, we'll get caught up and go back, and our minds will take us there. And so I'm thinking, this whole restoration, what's he restoring? He's making me better than I was. I got the Holy Spirit now. I got God in me. My spirit wasn't enough. My spirit failed. Mine was only willing to take care of me. Y'all need to know something. By God giving me the Holy Spirit and changing my life, he now, so the same guy y'all sitting there watching, looking at right now, used to be selfish. It was only about him, his boy, no more. And now God got me praying for you. God got me speaking into your life. I see your faces at times, and I'm praying for you. I want you to become who God wants you to become. I need you to become the woman that God wants you to be. I need you to become the man God wants you to be. The person. Every time I see your smile now, I see you coming in here. Now it's now encouraging. Why? Because I see she getting it. God, you're doing something new in her life. And she needs that. What was working in the past ain't working. In fact, it's dead. And to be okay with the old man being dead. Let the new man arise. And stop trying to resurrect this old you. Trying to bring it back. No, no. It's okay. See. It's okay. It's okay. I had to tell my daughter that we have a dog, Roxy. The most loyal, faithful pit bull ever in history. And Roxy was a good dog, great dog. My daughter loved her. And so my daughter, Roxy fell out, had a heart attack. And my daughter got her, put her in the car, and drove to the hospital, the veterinarian hospital. And they came out in the gurney. This was a COVID time, so she couldn't go in with them. And they came out in the gurney and got the dog and took her in. And then they came back out and they told her she had a heart attack. Do you want us to try to resuscitate her? And my daughter said, yes. And I'm saying, and I check all on the phone. Said, honey, Roxy's 17. Multiply that times 7. Because 1 year of a human life, 7 years of a dog's life, and you multiply. I said, Roxy's real old. I said, let her go. She lived a good life. It's okay. Let her go. Because otherwise she kept trying to bring up the past. And so, and now she got a new dog, a Chapo. So, El Chapo, he's an escape artist. But Chapo is a great dog for her, loves her, and right there with her. But nevertheless, my point is that we do that as humans with our own lives. And God's trying to restore us, and he's trying to bring some new things into our life, but we can't get the new things into our life because we keep wanting to keep the old things, which is taking up the space. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I just got this one. So there's some space in your mind. He said, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But your mind can't be renewed in this clock with a whole bunch of old stuff. There's some decluttering that has to take place. And you've got to release some stuff so you can get some stuff in. That's why being here is important. Sitting here at the sound of my voice is important. Why? Because God, I'm saying there's some things I just get instantaneously. And he's giving to me. But they're not for me. They're for us. Because you got to remember something. Now, I got to tell y'all something. My ears are the closest ears to my lips. Which means I hear what I'm saying. Now, here's what I'm getting ready to tell y'all. And so many of y'all don't. You'll get, and most pastors won't tell you this. I told y'all I can't do this without the Holy Spirit. So there's some things he gives me right at the last minute that I didn't have before. It's not on paper. Which means if he gave it to us, he gave it to us for who? For us. Not me, or not just you. Us. Us means all of us. Means everybody in the room. So he's given us a word lock. So the hope is that we'll hear it. It'll go through the mind. The mind will send it to the heart where the issue of life lies, and only for it to transmit back to the mind so that we receive it. Don't you hear me? There just can't be a transmission to it. It has to be one from it that acknowledges it. And when we acknowledge that we hear, and so truth is necessary for us to get to where we need to go. Why do y'all think we're being bombarded with so many false things? If I can keep you in a lie and keep you paralyzed in not knowing the truth, and I can keep your mind cluttered with stuff that's not real, and to keep you stuck in the past, you'll never reach your destiny. And he didn't even have to do it. You will do it. This is why. So God, I'm on a mission to help our people free their minds, to free their hearts, to allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us in that. I am not God. I'm not talking about following me. I'm talking about following me as I follow Jesus Christ. If Christ is in me, Christ is in you, that's where we're going. Okay, I got it. That's the plan. The plan is not follow me, be me, and I need y'all. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for all of us, including me. I share some of my story to be vulnerable. Why? Because I'm at peace and I'm delivered and I'm free. To help somebody else. And if you want to use it against me, go ahead. Because I got the shield of faith. I'm good. I got my shield. Let me help y'all. Y'all read the scriptures. It told me my shield is capable of quenching every fiery dart. I get darts thrown at me every day. I mean, maybe shooting at me. Because you got to remember something. Get me. I can't deal. 10 for 1. So, I will ask you this. I shall continue to pray for me. Continue. That I listen to the voice of God. Because that's important. Because I love God now. Because I know God loves me. And he loves us. And I want to share with you. So my interpretation, my love for who God is doing, you know, and my heart always goes out because I always think God, this I can think of people that's not here and think they should be here, right? But I want to tell you something. If you're here and you have the sound of my voice, I want to tell you it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It happens to be God's divine providence and plan. He knew who he wanted here today. If we get it, those that are here, hear what God is saying, that the restoration process is in play. And I want to take this message even further, because a lot of times, so the restoration isn't a one-time piece. There's so much more to this. Each time he's adding on to some things into my life. And so the cross brought forth so much and freed me from so much. It started bringing into place of justification, sanctification, right? All of those things that I needed in my life, but I didn't know it. And some of you start thinking justification, or you walking around, you think you just just. No, I'm not just. I'm guilty. But my God is not. And he delivered me and redeemed me. When he redeemed me, he paid the price to get me free. And because he did that, I now have the right to be restored. And he gave me a new spirit. And in my new spirit, I can now hear the voice of God, to walk with God, to be like him that he created in the beginning. I can declare it. And I want to give you one more scripture. And I'm going to end there. Ezekiel. So I'm going to take y'all back to the Old Testament. Ezekiel 11, verse 19 and 20. Listen to what he tells Ezekiel. Now, this is thousands of years early, before Jesus ever got to the cross. So I want to confirm what I was talking about today, because it was prophesied. How many know that prophecy is really important in the Bible? And I was just reading this the other day. Prophecy is about 25% of the Bible. How many know that prophecy is already, the prophecies that have already occurred have occurred at 100%? 100%. That means they none missed the mark. And there's some prophecies about the future that have yet to happen, right? But all the prophecies that are in the Bible that were prophesied in a certain time ago have all happened. Every one of them. Which means that's the most amazing thing, that I could talk about something 1,000 years ago and it happened. And I can talk about something 1,500 years ago and it happened. And then even now 2,000 years ago and it happened. But listen to the Ezekiel 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit. Watch. Yeah, we prophesied this within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statute and keep my ordinance and do them, and they shall be made be my people, and I will be their God. I can't do this thing without the Holy Spirit and without God. And so the fact that he's renewing a new man, and he's put a new spirit in me, a new heart, I can now hear his voice. I can do the things he wants. Because I couldn't walk in his statute of the law. The law was never enough. Just because it said don't do it didn't mean you won't do it. Y'all, listen. But with his spirit and his heart, you'll realize those things that are not right, not working in your life, that are damn harmful to you and to other people. You're now your conscious man, your heart. Everything changes because it now feels different. That's what a new man will do. And that's what a restored man will be working on. And then the old man will pass away and becoming new, will become new. You remember, it's already happened in his world. We got to walk in. So as I walk every day, I'm walking into a newness. The level of where I am, my level of intelligence and my level of anointing that's on my life today is not where it was 30 years ago. It's not where it was 20 years ago. Remember, I don't compare myself to anybody else. You shouldn't either. If you want to compare yourself to yesterday. Am I the same person I was 10 years ago? Am I the person I was 5 years ago? And for that matter, am I the person I was yesterday? I hope you're growing every day. And I want to share, this is important. This is important. Anybody know when a tree starts to die? He said the bark. It's actually when it stops living. So that's the moral of this, is the moment it gives up and don't want to live anymore, it goes in reverse. I'm going to share with you, while we're here on the earth, right, let's live the life that God has given us. Let's walk in the newness of the new man that he died on the cross for. Let's be free and walk to give him what he's given us, which is power and anointing to walk under the sun in time, in trials, in tribulation, in trouble, in problems. He's giving you the victory through all. It cannot stop you. It only will stop you if you let it. Hear me. It does not have the ability to keep you from being who God's called you to be. But it will if you give it the authority. That's the restoration process in play. That I can walk through this, walk out of this. I can walk in the fire and not get burned. This is who we are. I didn't say things won't happen. I didn't say problems won't occur. They don't have the ability to keep you down. Because of what he did on Calvary. We've been redeemed. The redemption is now given the authority to walk in restoration. What used to bother me doesn't bother me anymore. I still got work to do. There's a lot of things, though, that I've conquered. And there's a lot more I've got to conquer based on who he is in me and who I am in him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause. I drew myself a little diagram. In the beginning, he gave me a spirit, right? And then I drew an arrow down to where I am now. And I saw, and I wrote, released and received. He released the Holy Spirit, and I personally chose Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I received the Holy Spirit. This time, it wasn't, you know, sometimes you give somebody something, they don't see the value in it. But when they received it and took it for themselves, again, it's a different play. It's not just that you feel like, well, I don't say I earned it. But it was released. I knew it was released, and I accepted it. This time, my will declare. Y'all see the difference? My will declared Jesus as Lord, and now I understand I can walk into restoration. So something was released, and I received it, I caught it, as opposed to something that was just given, and I disregarded it. All right, Lord, I'm going to leave it alone. I'll leave it right there. Somebody will get that before they get home, I hope. Amen. Can we give the Lord a round of applause? I have to keep asking myself, and you know, I hope that those of you that are watching, that this was relevant and made sense and really get to the place that we're in this process of restoration. I also want to declare with all of you here, does this help anybody? Okay. I need to know, because I'm trying to get, like, God speak to me. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to bring it out in the layman English terms. Because it can put so much in my head, and I got to tell you that I can't get it all out. But I want us to know that going to the cross and shed blood on our behalf and taking on the sins of the world was way much more than an Easter Sunday. So much more. So I don't want you to limit it to a day and place it in your life. And say, this is my life. I have a right to this because of what he has done for me. There's no one else that has done this. Nowhere else is declared. No one else has died. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So my sin can be remitted, paid, completely because of what he did. Because he shed his blood. Amen. Give the Lord one more round of applause. This is so important for each of you on encouraging the Lord's deal on me. This ministry is a teaching ministry. And I have to be in place and continue. And I'm going to tell you, there's times that the enemy has played in my head and wanted me to quit, give up, and do all these other things. But you are important. You are exactly who he said he would send into my life. He was like, what? No. I didn't know any of you. God sent you. And I received that, and I believe that. And because he did, it's my job and my role to be there to help teach and preach the gospel of Jesus, the truth, into your life to help you grow. To help you become the man, the woman, the person that he's called you to be. That's my job. And I can't advocate that, give that up. I now understand it more than ever. That's who I am, and this is what we're called to do. So my prayer is that you get this. And my prayer is that you'll keep breaking it down and showing me how to teach it so that you grow in your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my goal. I'm going to be clear on it right now. I have one. Yep. I got an agenda. I sure do. Belongs to Him. To teach and to preach the gospel. Okay? And no, I don't want you to get goosebumps. And say, yeah, He sure preached. Say, no, I want you to say, I got something out of that. I ask the same question every week. Did this help anybody? I know I ask the same question. The reason is, if it ain't helping, I don't want to say it. I don't want to do it. But if I just see one hand, that's encouraging. But I see more than one. I see more than one. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Thank you. It's encouraging because now I know, all right, God, it's working. What you said works. And so guess what that does to me? That gives me the courage to get back up here next week. It gives me the courage to get back up here again. Oh, I'm human. You think He doesn't play in my head to tell me it's not working? They're not listening? They don't hear you? He does. And I have to shut down. Listen, talk to me. Because you don't want to hear that. Right? And then I have to block my heart. I got to block my heart to not receive it. Because I got to say, okay, God, your people are important. And I guess what? It goes even further. Y'all see me? Why do I get emotional? Because you matter. If you didn't matter, it wouldn't bother me. So you think, I'm like, God, you put this pressure on me. He said, I never would give you more than you can handle. So listen, please, you don't have to feel sorry for me. But I've done, but I care. And because I care, I want to see your lives change. I want to see you grapple. I want y'all to ask questions. I want you to study. I want you to come back and say, well, Pastor, I read this in the Bible. And when I give y'all scriptures, go read it for yourself. Don't believe me. Although I will tell you the truth, because He can hold me accountable. I can tell you that now. I'm big on that. Pastor Bruce, Pastor Stephen, they know. I said, do not tell somebody something you don't, it's not in the scripture, and don't tell somebody something you personally can't live. If you can't live it, you stay away from it until you get there. But you cannot preach something to somebody you can't live. So I'm not telling y'all something I ain't been through my own self. Hello? But I really do love people now. And the reason I love you is because God loves you. He did way more than what I'm doing. He said, there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for someone else. That's the greatest love. Well, I didn't lay down my life. In fact, mine won't change nothing if I did. But His did. His changed everything for you and I. And that's what we can walk in today. That's the restoration. And so I need y'all to start. I know you see it says restored. I want you to see yourself complete. Although we know it's in process. Hear what I just said. You have to start walking in completeness. Although we know it's in process. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm telling you, it's okay. According to scripture, He said, speak those things that are not as though they were. Right? Which means I can say I'm complete, although I'm walking in the completion is ongoing. Okay? But I'm declaring it because I'm speaking it into my life. Does that make sense? And I'm giving y'all scriptures to make that is not a lie. That's not, and I'm not talking about us. What do you call it? Just pumping yourself up for something? Okay. Hyping yourself, that's a good one. Yeah, I was thinking of another term, but that's the term. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Right? You can hype yourself. No, I'm not talking about that. This is real. The scripture says about who I can be and what I said. And I believe the scripture. How many in here believe scripture? Thank y'all for putting your hands up. Because listen, guys, it's the one thing we have in our life that we need to hold on to dearly. Yeah. Tell y'all this now. A whole lot of things is changing rapidly. But this is still the best-selling book. Still the best-selling book. written in multiple languages today. They even tell me now they got one. They dropped on remote islands that is battery powered by the solar, so that it can speak. And they translate them into whatever languages that are being said on those particular lands. And I'm saying, thank you, God. Just when we thought we not getting through. But I gotta tell you something, God's plan is working. It's moving all in the earth. I know it's easy to look at the television and say, well, the mass, the numbers, this thing has nothing to do with the numbers. It has everything to do with the moves in all houses and power. You know there's somebody in power and in authority, which is our God. And a whole lot of other people could assume they're in charge. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. They can assume that they're in charge, but they're really not. But I need you to declare who you are because of what he said you can be and who he said you are and how much you mean to him. Amen? Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you. I'm done. I did today's thing, and I'm going to tell you, I sit there and I said, Lord, help me. Help me do what you want me to do. I need you more than ever. And I say that to you guys because I want you to get what God's trying to say and do. And I'm happy. The faces I see in here right now, I'm very happy for all of you that are here. I am. I'm praying for some of my leaders. They're off today, and one of them is out. They're back, and they're praying for Elder, but she pulled her back, and she's getting older, and I told her to stop doing all of what she does, but she doesn't listen. But nevertheless, healing belongs to the children of God, so healing is the children's bread, so I'm praying healing over her life. Pastor Rob is on vacation. I pray he's enjoying himself. You know, he's in Puerto Rico. That's important for him to go visit some family there. So thank God for that. And but we're here. I'm here. You're here. And God knows exactly who's supposed to be here. Amen? So with that said, we're going to get ready for our tithes and offering, and we're going to go and enjoy the rest of our Sunday. Amen? So if you need an offering envelope, like I did, I went and got me one. Okay. If you need to do it through